may be seated. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Wow. I truly hope and pray this morning that you was aware of His presence. And on behalf of Matt and I, thank you so much as a congregation for being patient with us and giving us time to bring our worship team back to its full stature. Just so you know, we are taking the whole worship singers and dividing them in groups of five, and there will be three of them. So you're not going to see them every Sunday in their entirety, but there will be three different singing groups that will be assisting Matt and us as we try to the best of our ability to give the Lord our very best when we gather to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We want our worship at Hardin Baptist Church always to be fresh and never be stale. So please be mindful of why we're here as the body of Christ. Thursday night, I got a call. We were actually at a birthday supper, and when I looked down at my phone, it was Johnny Bolin on the caller ID, and Johnny hardly ever calls. So I figured it was important. As the phone continued to ring, I was moving away from the gathering outside. And when I got outside on the steps, I answered the phone and I said, "Hello." And Johnny didn't say hello. He just said these words, "Brother Ricky, the Egner Ferry Bridge has collapsed." My first reaction was, "What?" He stated again that the Egner's Ferry Bridge had collapsed. It was a very short conversation. To be honest with you, I'm not sure if Johnny called to alert me to what had happened or if Johnny called me because he was concerned. Because he knows I, living on the east side of Callaway County, 8.1 miles from that bridge, actually spend a lot of time traveling over that bridge. So very possibly, Johnny was concerned I might have been one of those cars on the bridge or someone that I love dearly had been on that bridge when the bridge collapsed. Immediately, I rushed back into the house and all I could say was what Johnny said to me as I turned to the group of people that I was with and I said, "The Egner's Ferry Bridge has collapsed." And they had the same reaction I had. "What?" For a few brief minutes, we were living in a state of unbelief. Could not believe something that we take for granted on a day-by-day basis, some of us a week-by-week basis, had actually collapsed. You know, we were now trying to get into the living room to turn the TV on, and about the time we turned the TV on, within a few seconds, Channel 6 had a breaking news story. You know how they always start. We interrupt our regular programming for this breaking news story, and they repeated basically what Johnny had said to me. Now, by this time, reality had begun to set in, and I began to realize, and those with me in that gathering, that our life, to a certain degree, and especially to those of us who live nearest to the bridge, our life had just changed. We'd wake up on Friday morning and it would be the cover story in the Murray Ledger and Times. My daughter happened to be home, so Friday she and I actually rode our road bikes down to Kinlake State Park. Made that 8.1 mile trip and actually observed with our own eyes that a span of the bridge was gone. And the Delta Mariner cargo ship, wow, she's massive. The front part of that bridge, which had always been massive to me, especially in the days when we used to cross it with an open air tractor, looked like popsicle sticks. Draped across the bow of that ship. all of a sudden we began to realize this had happened. And now we realize, yes, life had changed, not only for me, but for a lot of people. You know, as I was making the trip back home on the bicycle, it suddenly dawned on me, anyone on this side of Callaway County can still get where they're going. But whoa, it's sure going to take a lot longer to get there. And it's sure going to be a little more expensive and out of the way now to get where you want to be, especially when you want to be just across the bridge. The news says that it'll add about 30 minutes to get to Katy's, but if you're just going to the other side of the bridge, it's going to add about an hour to each day. For a short period of time, our life in Western Kentucky will be different. Agreed? Can I just see a show of hands? How many of you in some fashion or another will be affected by the collapse of that section of the bridge? Could I just see a show of hands? Wow. If you don't mind, this morning as pastor of Hardin Baptist Church, hopefully under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, we're going to interrupt our sermon series on the life of Christ from the Gospel of Mark and have a late-breaking spiritual news alert. If you have your Bibles with me, open to a familiar story that we don't look at very often. 2 Samuel chapter 11. For you see, as I continued to read the news excerpts, as I stood in that open-air pavilion at Kinlake Park and I looked at the Delta Mariner with part of that bridge draped over its bow, I just asked myself this question. What in the world was he doing crossing there? Amen? Now, I'm sure in the days and months ahead there will be a good explanation, possibly. But being a country kid from the east side of Callaway County didn't make sense to me for a ship that big to be three spans down from the main channel. I mean, looking at the size of that ship, I'm thinking if I was captain of that ship, I'd be cautious even to go under the Egner's Ferry Bridge. Because even in the main channel, there wouldn't be much room for error. But to be three spans down, just couldn't imagine. And then it was almost as if the Holy Spirit had pressed upon my heart. That's where many Christians live their life. Outside of the main channel of God's will. That's what we're going to look at this morning. What happens when a believer tries to live outside of the main channel of God's will? I think each one of us here this morning realize there is a serious consequence for the choice that the captain of the Delta Mariner chose Thursday night. And while the consequence affects him directly, it also directly affects many people who live in West Kentucky. I think sometimes when we live our life as Christians, we just don't understand how our choices, free choices given to us by God, affect the life of other people when we find our life outside the main channel of God's will. As a pastor, I want to be honest with you, because of the tremendous amount of counseling I do in a church this size, I'm always reluctant to preach this passage. I'll tell you why. Because it always brings up guilt. It always brings up past remembrance of things that have been dealt with properly and rightfully, and that people in this church have moved away from. And as a pastor, I sometimes feel like I'm reopening old wounds in families. And I never want to do that in a harmful way. But boy, sometimes you just got to stand. Not to let Satan bring condemnation on anyone here this morning who's messed up in the past, but to let the Holy Spirit convict all of us who might be getting ready to make a decision that's going to have a serious consequence, that's going to actually be at a strategic intersection where you not only affect your life, but your decision affects the life of other people. East-west road traffic from Murray and Katy's has been altered for a while, and for a few days, north-south, boat travel was shut down, came to a complete halt. Because of the choice of one person, there were consequences to many people. Don't you ever let Satan cause you to believe the choice you're making will only affect you. It will affect many. 2 Samuel chapter 11, many of you can quote this from memory. We're only going to read the first five verses, but we're probably going to refer to chapter 11 and 12. Listen to what the ESV says from 2 Samuel chapter 11. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. Boy, there's a big red flag right here. But David remained at Jerusalem. Verse 2 said, it happened. Well, you got to love the way the writer's recording this. It happened. Late one afternoon, when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her. Parenthesis. Now she had been purifying herself from uncleanness. Her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house. Wow. Unbelievable. She, the woman, conceived. And she sent now and told David, "I am pregnant." Father, break into our lives right now and help us see how different our life might be and those around us if some of us make the choice we're thinking about making. Help us understand there is a consequence to each choice we make. Please, this morning, help us understand the great responsibility as well as privilege of having this thing called choice. But instead of debating its true nature, maybe as a church, we need to really consider the awesomeness of this thing called choice. Why, as a church, we stand on the truth of forgiveness for wrong choices. Help us also understand that forgiveness does not negate natural and spiritual consequences of those choices that can and will be forgiven. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I think it's obvious, as the writer reveals this part of the life of David, a person who has been chosen by God to be king of Israel, a man who was after God's own heart. That he made a wrong choice. But if I'm understanding the way the writer is writing this, now I want to be totally honest with you, I do not believe in any of our books of the Bible does the writer of the book ever write from a strictly objective perspective historically. They write with a purpose. And I don't know about you, but you sense the writer here trying to wave his arms for us, the reader of the story, to understand what went wrong in David's life first. We address the first five verses under this heading, David's choice. Now, before we get into the choice that David made about Bathsheba, which is going to be a wrong choice, we need to see the choice he made before that choice. And that choice was to be where he shouldn't have been that late afternoon. Or to not be where he should have been late that afternoon. I want to lay a very important principle down for you, because this message is not about what happens after you sin only. But this message is being shared to prevent us from being in the wrong channel. And especially three spans down from the main channel of life. And that's what David forgot. I think David forgot that his identity should always determine his location. Did you hear that? David's identity should have determined his location. I sometimes like to pull out my iPhone and put in where I'm going. It asks me if I want to use my current location, and I say yes. And then before it shows me where I'm going, it shows me where I am. Agreed? Did you know each one of us have a built-in GPS? Not a global positioning system, but a God positioning system. It's called identity. And your identity and my identity should determine, influence, affect where we are at all times. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. Did you catch that? What I want to suggest to you this morning is this. David forgot who he was. You say, Brother Ricky, he didn't forget who he was. He was in the palace late one afternoon, waking up from a nap. He's the king of Israel. That's right. But the king of Israel should not have been on his couch that afternoon, because the historian said it was the springtime of the year, and that's when kings go to war. If you do a chronological study of David's life, he's somewhere around 49 or 50 years of age, and that scares me to death after just turning 51. This man was a seasoned warrior. This man had trained other men to follow him into battle, and there was no doubt in my mind he believed Joab could do the job in his place. But that's not the question. The question is, where should David been if he was the true king of Israel? He should have been doing what kings do. And you know what kings do? They lead their men into battle. Please don't read this through a 2012 world view where a commander-in-chief stays in the White House and sends soldiers and generals and armies to war in his place. No. A king left the luxury of the palace and he led his men into battle. Not David. And here's what I want to suggest to you. You may look at this and just say physically he wasn't where he was supposed to be, but here's what I believe. The fact that he was physically not where he was supposed to be reveals that mentally and spiritually he was not where he should have. You will never know how sometimes your physical appearance somewhere actually reveals your spiritual and mental state at that moment. I don't think most times us being somewhere physically, then that physical spot influences us mentally and spiritually. No. I think the fact that you're already there is a reflection of the state of your mind and the state of your spirit. Amen? Now, just so you understand the urgency of this, can you imagine being the captain of the Delta Mariner and all of a sudden Egner Ferry Bridge is on top of your vessel? Your life has changed. Whether you were right or wrong of being where you were, you are going to be scrutinized. You just took out a section of the bridge that was very important to a lot of people. Can you see your wife draped over the bow of your life, men? But the lives of your children. But the life of your best friend, your coworkers. As a teacher, your students. Maybe the life of your next door neighbor. That's what we're dealing with. When a Christian is not where he's supposed to be. When a Christian husband is not where he's supposed to be. A Christian wife is not where she's supposed to be. A Christian dad, a Christian mother, a Christian worker, a Christian neighbor, a Christian brother, a Christian sister. I can go on and on and on and on. See, because David was not in battle, I believe, could be wrong here, but I believe he's at home, arising from his couch, he's been napping, and I don't think there's a person in here who believes David's got his armor on. Agreed? He's got his PJs on. We got a king who is without his armor in wartime. And wow, that greatly affected him. Unprotected. I wonder how many of us as Christians forget sometimes that we are in war. And there's a spiritual battle raging all around us, and we live in our PJs instead of fully armed with the armor of God. Actually believe at 50 years of age, we deserve to sit back, take it easy, enjoy a nap, and let someone else do what we should be doing. Boy, there's a lot of privilege that goes that we're getting higher up the corporate ladder you get. Amen? You know how you start out at the bottom and you're surrounded by a lot of people and there's things you might want to do but you can't do because someone's always watching? Trust me, the more responsibility God gives you and the higher up you get, the more privacy you'll get. And you better not live unprotected. You and I better heed Paul's words and put on the full armor of God and have the breastplate of righteousness guarding our heart. And the helmet of salvation clearly influencing our thinking. And I'll tell you where it all starts. The first choice you got to make is this. To be where I'm supposed to be. And let my identity determine where I am at all times. Amen? Now even there you're going to have choices to make. But when you're not where you're supposed to be, outside the main channel of God's will, a wrong choice can have serious consequences for not only you, but those around you. Because David was not where he was supposed to be, and he was where he was, walked out on his roof and saw a woman bathing. Now I think right now we all understand that was not sinful. But it became sinful. Because David did not do what the men of this church would do when we see a beautiful woman who is not our wife. What would we do? Immediately turn our eyes. Agreed? Amen, guys? David saw Bathsheba and saw she was beautiful. Being a man, I know this. David didn't have to study her for minutes, hours, or days to know she was beautiful. A man instantly knows and can make an assessment on the beauty of what he's looking at, especially if she's female. Don't you guys say amen, but you know what I'm talking about. He saw her. Now guys, watch this. Here's where it starts. James clearly says, when it comes to sin in the life of a believer, you can't blame the devil and you can't blame your circumstances. He said, we're enticed and drawn away by our own what? Lust. Our own desires. This was not a battle from without with David. This was a battle from within. And he sinned. And inquired about her identity. This gets worse. He gets word back. Three things. It's Bathsheba. She's the daughter of Eliam. And she's the wife of Uriah. Now you know what the right choice at this moment is. Agreed? We confess already we've went too far. Agreed? Agreed? If you keep reading through 2 Samuel, you know what you're going to discover? That there is a possibility that Bathsheba was the granddaughter of Ahithophel. Because Ahithophel is the father of Eliam. If it's the same Eliam, remember who Ahithophel is? David's counselor. One of his most trusted men. Bathsheba is his granddaughter. Well, that tells you where he was mentally and spiritually. could a man have an affair with the granddaughter of one of his most trusted men? And she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. A mercenary who was fighting for Israel because he loved David and he loved David's God. Wow. He knew. He was now not in the main channel of God's will. Agreed? But he sent and took. He first sent and asked, got the information he needed. Now he compounds it by taking her. She came. It would take a mighty spiritual woman to turn down an invitation from a king. Agreed? Now, can I say this respectfully? I'm not going to debate whether Bathsheba should have been taking a bath at that time of the day or not, best I can tell. If David had been where he should have been and where most of the fighting men were and where the other men were working, it's perfectly okay for her to take her bath that time in the afternoon because there wouldn't be anybody around but ladies. Agreed? So she possibly was where she was supposed to be. But here's what we're going to discover. She's now going to know where she shouldn't have went. And we now have person number two not where she was supposed to be. Don't you sit here and try to blame your sin on somebody else and the consequences of your life on someone else. And can I say this to you? You will not be able to do that if you make the choice some of you are going to make. Because you know right now you are not in the main channel of God's will for your life. She went. And you know what he did? He lay with her. Which meant she laid with him. And now she's conceived. And she's pregnant. And she sends word to David. Wow. It's time to confess. Agreed? Time to get back in the main channel of God's will. I promise you, when you make a wrong choice, if you decide to do what David did and cover it up, it'll get worse. And that's what he did. Chuck Swindoll said there's three parts to David's cover-up. There's a clean part, a dirty part, and then a criminal part. The first one looks so clean. David just sent for Uriah the Hittite and thought, man, I'll bring him home. He's been in battle for a long time. Give him a free pass to go be with his wife. He'll jump at the opportunity. I mean, David's thinking Uriah would think like he's thinking. Here's the problem. Uriah was where he was supposed to be. He was a soldier. So when he came home, he automatically knew he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Because he knew he wasn't where he was supposed to be, that influenced him in making a right choice. Do you get this? So you know what he did, don't you? He didn't go home. He slept on the floor outside the palace. Wakes up the next morning, servants stow David, and he keeps him there another day, and now it gets dirty. He brings him into the palace, throws a party, and gets him drunk. Knowing that in a state of drunkenness, this man will go home to a beautiful woman, not be able to control himself, and he'll think the baby's his. This is ugly. Are you listening to me? a mercenary, a soldier, drunk, has more discipline and discretion than the man after God's own heart who is living outside the main channel of God's will for his life. Whoa! That's exactly why in this community, unbelievers who do not know Christ can sometimes make better choices and decisions than believers do. That was just worth you being here this morning. Amen? I'll forget to say that in the second and third service because that wasn't in my notes. Please get this picture. When you're unclean before your God and will not admit it, it gets worse. And then you know what he did? He had him killed. Oh, it wasn't his arrow. It wasn't his sword. But it was in all reality. See, the consequence of his choice was not only did he get a lady pregnant, but he killed a man. Would you have ever believed that great man of faith who slew Goliath the giant could now be such a man of the flesh that he gets defeated by the giant of lust? I say to you and I this morning that sometimes the lust and desires within us are taller, larger, and greater than any physical giant we've ever encountered. So much more important, therefore, to put on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and take the shield of faith and the shoes of the gospel and the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit because of the battle that rages not just without, but the battle that rages in from the unredeemed flesh of every believer here this morning. Listen to me. You rise dead, but here's what we forget. Do you see what the story says? When Joab sends word, it wasn't just Uriah who died. A whole group of men died. And Joab said, "Tell David Uriah, your servant, has been killed." And David sighed a sigh of relief. Because Uriah's out of the picture. He is now in such a state that he can't even mourn the men who died that day. And you know what Scripture says? Scripture says, ESV version of the Bible, checked it out in the Hebrew, David said to Joab, "Don't let this thing displease you." His actions has caused another man to play a part in a soldier being killed, not one, but others. And David's encouraged him that don't let this displease you. And then right after that, here's what the Bible's going to say. So David, after Bathsheba had mourned her husband, took her as his wife. And she bore a child. Last sentence of chapter 11. But this thing displeased the Lord. David's trying to tell Joab, don't let this displease you. Whew. And forgot all about who knew what he had done. And that was God. Hey, you may get by with it. Your wife, your husband, your children, your church may not ever know. But your God will. He sees what you don't think is being seen, and He hears what you don't think is being heard. That's who He is. Chapter 12 starts out with Nathan confronting David, and David finally confesses. Praise God. Finally did the right thing. But can I point this out? It's probably at least a year later. He's had a year to deal with this, and he hadn't dealt with it. So God made him deal with it. And you know what we discover? We discover that even though God is going to forgive David of what he did, praise God, amen, there's still a consequence. God said, the sword will not depart from your house. Talking about Israel, the nation. It's going to be continual war now. And you know where most of the war is going to come from? It's going to come from within your house. Have you read the consequences to David's children of David's actions? Not just the baby, but his firstborn never ascended to the throne because he was killed by his brother. And then God said, you took Bathsheba, another man's wife, I'm going to take your wives. And you did your thing privately, the nation's going to watch your wives be taken by other men. And this child, because you've scorned the name of the Lord, he's going to die. This is not time for a wow. It's time for a whoa. Please get your life in the main channel of God's will this morning. How do I do that? By repenting and by confessing. If you don't, I promise you, it'll take a while to assess the damage your sins are going to cause others. We're still assessing Egnor Ferry Bridge. The cost to repair and rebuild will be huge for you and others. Now, thirdly, those around you can still get where they're going, but it'll sure take them a long time to get there. Because they counted on you. You were her bridge. You were his bridge. You were their bridge over troubled water, and you just got taken out. There's grace to live after sin. But there's still a terrible consequence. Get back in the main channel now. Please. For the glory of God and for your family. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to bring a spiritual life alert to this church. Please awaken the men and the women of this church, the teenagers, the college students, the senior adults, the mid-lifers, to the truth that there are consequences to our choices. Please, Father, reveal yourself to each one of us about which channel we're in. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please, please consider being where you're supposed to be, starting right now.